My topics are kind of in a loose cluster around the issue of money and ethics. And don't worry, I'm not going to repeat anything that I heard today in any kind of detail, but I will cover some of the same issues, but I think in ways that might lead you to think a little bit about them. You know, I know we've got the microphones, but if you have a question, you know, raise your hand and yell out, and I will repeat it in. And if at the end there's time, obviously we can do it that way then. The things I'm going to talk about are conflicts of interest, competency, communication, reasonable fees, and also including underneath that fee shifting. And a few of these things, when I first start talking about it, may seem kind of esoteric to you, but trust me, I will bring it home and I will say, what do you do about this? And they all have, I think, either right now or will soon have very practical real-world consequences for you. At the outset, I want to mention under conflicts of interest, there's a brand new case. I put it up on the ethics page of Pat and Leo a week or so ago, which I just want to mention briefly because it relates to something I'm going to talk about later, and I will talk more about this case. But there's an aspect of it that really relates to conflicts of interest that I think can perhaps implicate a number of your practices. In this case out of North Carolina, what the firm did is something that I think a lot of folks have done, which is when a patent owner presents them with a list of potential infringers, they run a conflicts check on the potential infringers. And if one of them is a client, they say, well, we can't sue the client, but they go forward on everybody else. I've always wondered whether that is a problem. And the court in North Carolina found that it was more than a problem, that it was part of the basis for finding a breach of fiduciary duty. The reason being that the firm was making a case for the patent owner that it knew was going to be used against its client later on.